Hi there, welcome back to Daily Journey Podcast. My name is Scott Pontier, and I'm glad that you have joined us today. We continue to do these every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, just as a way to have conversations with people and process, you know, what is it like to move through the midst of a pandemic? And typically what I do is I invite people on to have a little conversation, and I invite them to bring two questions to ask while we are talking. And usually turns into a pretty interesting conversation. Today, my guest is Jeff Dunn Rankin. And Jeff is a guy I've known for about 10 years and lives in Florida. Jeff is the vice president in charge of consultants for Ministry Architects, which is a consulting group that I have worked with for about 10 years. And we come alongside churches and we help them get unstuck and move forward. We started off initially in some youth ministry world and then added some children's ministry and young adult ministry, but we also do church-wide consulting. And I've lowered sort of my time commitment with them over the years as I've planted the church and gotten involved in the ministry that I do here at Harbor Churches. But this organization, the people that I get to work with in this organization are unlike people I know in any other space. And so they are just a huge, huge blessing in my life. And Jeff is one of those people in a very great way. Jeff, you'll hear me reference this in our conversation, but Jeff is the best question asker I know. But Jeff is also, he's just one of those Yoda people in my life who offer wisdom and grace. And man, I just can't say enough great things about Jeff Dunn Rankin. And I know a lot of you who listen to this are Jamestown Harbor people, and we'll never meet this guy, but boy, I wish you could. So here's a way you can meet him. And if you listen, you will also find, man, he just has this way of crafting a phrase that feels like that's a thing I need to write down. So yeah, I think you'll be blessed by this. We also spend a little, have some Mother's Day related conversation in here. And, you know, he asked a great question about how we deal with people who, well, you know what? You should just listen to it. So let's just get right into it. Here is my conversation with Jeff Dunn Rankin.
Yes, it is.
Zoom's pretty good.
I feel so good and so bad for Zoom because on the one hand, this is their time and everybody's Zooming. And then this is also the time when people have used their brand as a curse word, right?
Zoom. Yes. Yeah, yeah. That's a tough place to be in with an identity as a product, right?
Yeah.
Everybody has to use us and they hate us for it or something.
Yeah.
I am curious for you, like I was just having a conversation with someone talking about how this affected their workplace, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, obviously the reason I know you is we share a virtual workplace.
Right.
In that we consult with churches, right? In no way was Ministry Architects like seeing this on the horizon and then had prepared all kinds of contingency plans and were ready to deal with what happens when a pandemic happens, right?
We did not have a pandemic plan. We did not have a plandemic, right?
No, you didn't. You didn't. But I'm curious how you have felt about our company's ability to like pivot in this world and
right.
what has been key for you in that pivot?
Well, I think the question we keep asking ourselves is, what is our role in all of this? We don't have to ask ourselves whether we can have people in the office. There is no office. We don't have to ask ourselves whether we can have people, sit 6 feet apart. We don't even have to make up a rule about whether people can travel, as consultants sometimes do, because the government has made those decisions about whether people can travel. So we mostly have spent our time thinking about how do we take care of churches and what's our role versus someone else's role, because there are so many needs. And to ask the question, what is mine to do, it drives the day.
Yeah.
And so And so what we've done is we've asked ourselves, what have we been good at in the past? Can it be useful now? Mm-hmm. So we know we're good listeners. We know that we create clear plans for people who don't know what to do next. Mm-hmm. And we know that we lift a load off of people's shoulders pretty well. All of those things are needed right now.
Yeah.
Right, so we put together a document called the Chaos Consulting Toolbox for our consultants. And some of our consultants are just hunkered down and they're not doing hardly anything, which is just means they're setting the right priorities for them and their families. Yeah. And then there are others and other churches who want to keep moving, or they want to move, but on something different. So someone said, what we're doing is we're still climbing Mount Everest, but it's in a fog. So we're going to walk 3 feet, sit down and take a look at the land, walk another three feet, sit down and take a look at the land. So that's what we're doing.
Yeah, that's a pretty good analogy, because I think you would view a lot of our consultants as people who are like, okay, there's the top of Mount Everest, and here's where we're going to place out the base camps, 1, 2, 3, 4, and here's what we're going to do between camp 3 and 4, right? And so the shift for you and for the company is to say, let's just keep taking it 3 feet at a time and as we go up the mountain. And if we need to stay at camp at this elevation for an extra week or whatever it is, or a month, we'll do that, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Have you found joy or stress in that? I can't quite tell what stresses Jeff out. Of everybody I know in my life, you are a pretty calm presence in the midst of chaos, which makes you good at your consulting for sure, but also makes you a guy I like to talk to. So has anything stressed you out in leading your company or your family in this time?
Well, what's stressing me out is one of the big questions I have for us to discuss today anyway, which is...
Oh, let's do it then.
So the pandemic, for some reason, is not stressing me out. I think it's because although we're all in the same storm, we're not really in the same boat, right? Mm. That's a phrase that's been moving around different communities, and I think it's true. So the storm is the same, but I mean, I'm an empty nester. I don't have to be a teacher right now.
Right, yeah.
My kids are safe. I have a job that I can do from the house. I have a job that I've often done from my house.
Yeah, that's not any different from doing it right now, right? Yeah.
We didn't know a pandemic was coming, but we knew something always comes. So as a business, we had put together a rainy day fund. Mm-hmm. And so our company's not in jeopardy, even though our income is way, way down.
Yeah.
So we have the privilege of just saying, how can we help? Mm-hmm. So I'm actually, my rule of life, my pace of life has changed in a way that I like, and I'm going to see if I can continue it. Like a lot of people, I want to see if I can move at this slower pace when I'm not required to, you know,
yeah.
I go for a walk every morning now, and I take somebody like you with me. I've got a lot of friends who are pastors, and so I've been listening to their sermons and their podcasts and so on. So I go for walks with my friends for half an hour, before I do anything else in the day. So what stresses me out, Scott, is predictably, but sadly, we have moved from hashtag in this together to hashtag you're an idiot.
Yeah.
And so what always stresses me out the most is people being unkind to people. Mm. I understand, but I have a hard time dealing with meanness and anger.
Yeah.
Or anger that turns to meanness, fear that turns to meanness. I understand fear, I understand anger. So anyway.
Because those come from a very real place inside of somebody, right?
Yeah. So my question for you, Scott, is are you experiencing that same change? And if you are, how are you dealing with the ugly side of humanity coming out in the middle of all this?
Yeah. There was an opportunity that we named early on for us to come together, right?
Right.
It makes me wonder, that phrase you use is so good. It's the same storm, but we're in different boats. Right. We look at times over history of where it seemed like our community came together, right? And like, I wonder if there were time, if they were all in the same boat then, and now this is the difference, is we're in different boats, but I am stressed out by the thing you are stressed out by, for sure. Right. Like, but like, how do we deal with people? Yeah. Well, how did you phrase the question? How do we deal with people when they're.
Well, yeah, our ugliest sides in our fear and our anger, our ugliest sides are showing up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I'm not mad at the pandemic. I'm mad at the people who are mad at the pandemic.
Right. So I have a few ways that I think I'm dealing with that. The first way is I'm trying, and I think I often try to understand this comes from somewhere, right? Like, I think it's really easy to label, which is part of our problem, right? Mm-hmm. It's really easy to label, well, you're that person or this kind of person. And, you know, I said it a minute ago too, but realizing like fear and anger come from a place, right? Mm-hmm. And there's something inside of you. And the reaction I'm experiencing from you is coming from somewhere inside of you. So like, I think that's always a starting point for me is to recognize, is to actually try to be curious and to go, I'm curious about that's coming from inside of you.
Yes.
Even though it projects itself as arrogance or, you know, this sort of like puffed out chest, like I'm the smart one, you all are the idiots, right?
Right.
Okay, that comes from somewhere. I wonder why you feel like you have, because you know what normal people don't have to do? Prove to you why they're right. Like healthy, normal people don't have to prove to you that you're stupid.
Yeah, I think it's funny that you said healthy, normal. But anyway, because I'm not sure those two super go together.
When I'm in my most healthiest places, I do not feel like I have to prove anything to you, right?
I think that's true.
Yeah, so if I phrase it that way. So I think I start with going, and listen, things get tense in my house from time to time, right? My two boys will fight with each other from time to time. Right. And in this season, I find myself a little more grace. Like, when immediately when that happens and my blood pressure starts to rise as a dad, right? I'm also going, oh yeah, but this is a hard season. So it makes sense. So in some ways, it makes sense that people would react the way that they would. And so I give a little bit of grace. I think there's that. I think I've also tried to narrow my focus to the people I'm in relationship with.
Mm.
Because it doesn't, what's the point? You know, what's the point? I don't have a Facebook account anymore, you know? Mm. And I got rid of it before the global pandemic. But the people who talk about this conversation the most with me are the people who are most engaged on Facebook in particular.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I was talking to one pastor about this who's disappointed because he sees what the people in his congregation are posting, you know, and there seems to be a lack of wisdom, we shall say, in some of the things that maybe that they're putting online, whether it's correct or not, doesn't matter. Is it wise is a different question. Right.
Right.
And I keep saying to him, I'm like, you know, you don't have to look at that. Like, you don't even have to go on Facebook. Because I said, what do you think? Because he says, I see it. I know I'm not going to do anything about it because it's inappropriate for me to do that. But yet I feel the anxiety and the sadness and the shame and the, you know, all the things. And I'm like, well, then don't do that. It's like an abusive relationship. You don't have to keep going back to him, you know, like.
Oh my gosh.
So, but the reason I've gotten rid of it is like, it's toxic for me personally, right? Mm-hmm. Like there are things in it that make me compare, that make me inappropriately curious about other people's lives. And the benefit I get from it is negligible, if anything. Oh, yeah. Are you afraid you're going to miss out on something? Like, no, people will tell me because I'm in relationships with people. They'll let me know if I need to know something. Right. But all that to say is I try to focus on the people I'm in relationship with, because when people are acting stupid, when there's fear driving conversation and anxiety is driving reactions, correction is only best done through relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jeff, you can correct me. You can say to me, Scott, or as you'll say in an email, hey, ministry buddy. I noticed this and I'm wondering this, right?
Right.
That's fair. That's inbounds. And you know what? it's also really helpful, right? When somebody looks at you and says, hey, buddy, I noticed this. How you doing? You know? And I'm able to reflect with you and say, yeah, I did something. I said something. I think it came from this place, and it might have been out of line, right? Or it might not be the smartest thing. Or interesting perspective you have on whether or not we should be doing this, that, or the other. But in relationship,
I like the word curiosity that you named. I like that a lot. And I like the question of what is this person afraid of, right? Because that was driving your
Your and curiosity. I can find that out in a conversation with a person I'm in relationship with.
Then I can do something useful, right? Because if I can find out what they're afraid of, I can actually deal with the real problem.
Right. We can actually have a real conversation. And you might actually change my mind, or we might actually play in a pool of opinions together.
Or I might actually be able to comfort you.
Or we might actually be able to like walk with each other and have left the conversation feeling better about ourselves, right? I can't do that online. I can't do that by posting things into the ether. But that's, it seems like what we're trying to do, and it seems really fruitless.
You're reminding me of a chapter in an Anne Lamott book where she says, essentially, what does this person in front of me need right now? Do they need me to be right? I hope so, because I'm great at being right.
I'm great at being right.
But they probably, this person in fear probably needs my love and compassion.
Yeah.
But I love that question, what does this person need? Because we usually get in these fights because we want to make the world better. And her question is, what's really going to make the world better right now? Is it to be right? Or is it to love that person, offer that person compassion? It reminds me of the rich young guy who came to Jesus, right? Talk about arrogant and ignorant.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Arrogant, ignorant. And scripture says Jesus looked at him and loved him.
Mm-hmm. Before he ever said anything to him.
Before Jesus said anything to the guy, the first thing he did, in the young guy comes in his ignorance and arrogance, and Jesus looked at him and loved him. Mm-hmm. And then he talked to him.
Yeah.
I thought, man, that would be a good starting place for me. So I'm trying to get, if I start, you know, if the animal side of me, the fear side of me pops up, I've got this thing in my head now that goes, Jesus looked at him and loved him. Because that makes me curious. It makes me compassionate, all those things. Yeah.
And I have a window to do that with somebody through a relationship.
Yeah.
And I think most of us are spending, any of us who are spending our time kind of fighting a back and forth. And that's the most insane thing to me is that this whole situation is so side oriented, you know, unfortunately wearing a mask in public is a badge of a perspective, right?
Yes.
It's not about a public health concern or, you know, like, and that's so silly.
It's like your gang colors. Do you wear a mask or not?
Right, yeah. And me screaming at somebody in a grocery store or even being nice, you know, Jeff, probably would be a better idea if you wore a mask here in this grocery store. And here's why. If you're a stranger to me, what on earth is that going to do? Right?
Exactly right.
It's not going to change anybody's mind, but I don't know. My mind has changed 1,000 times over the last 2 months. Mostly because people who I love and love me, we chat. Then we have different conversations.
Yeah. And you get new data.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the prayer I at least want today, I have this prayer that says, Lord, help me be patient with people who are afraid of different things than I'm afraid of.
That's a good one.
Because both sides of this are driven by fear. There's a fear of never working again. There's a fear of my paycheck. There's a fear of losing my freedom. And then there's a fear of dying. There's a fear of being responsible for someone dying. There's a fear of contributing to the problem. I mean, it's just fear meeting fear. And we're afraid of different things, and so we're mad at each other.
Yeah, we are afraid of different things. I'm not afraid of losing my liberty. You know, never once in my 41 years of life has that been threatened, right? Never once have I honestly had something taken away from me that I have not been able to make some of my own decisions on. Even now, like I can still make my own decisions, right? But so I'm not afraid of that. But yeah, other people are, and that's fair to go, okay, I get you're afraid of that, you know, but yeah.
So let me change the subject and ask you a different question.
Yeah.
Because today's Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. How, as you look at your ministry, how does your mother show up in your ministry? Like, influenced you, ways that she raised you. How does your mom show up in the way that you do ministry?
Boy, there's a question nobody's asked me.
You're welcome.
Well, listen, what did I tell you? You're the best question asker I know. So, okay, real quick, practical ways my mom shows up in my ministry. She goes to my church. She will listen to this podcast.
Hi, Mom. Right?
Yes, but hi, Mom. We're recording this on Mother's Day, though it's probably going to come out on Wednesday of this week. But
yeah.
I think a couple of things about my mom. My mom is an achiever, I think. And that is probably the biggest thread that shows up in my ministry from like my mom. I think my mom has been a pretty successful and accomplished person. She was, you know, an executive in Procter & Gamble for a number of years. She was an executive at a nursing home company that my family began. Like, she's a leader, and she gets things done. And people always know that if you go to my mom and ask her to get something done, it's going to get done, right?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I see that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, of course, Jeff now, who's known only me, is going, oh, that's where that came from. Like, you can see it,
yeah,
right?
It's fun. Yeah. Go so on. You did a good job.
Yeah, and I think my mom's not a close-minded person, though I think maybe through life she has had lots of reasons to be, you know? Like, I think she's always been accepting of people with different social agendas and things like that. Mm-hmm. And family matters to my mom. You know, it doesn't matter if you believe something different in our family, if you live your lifestyle somehow different in our family, but there's always been room for you in our family. And I've appreciated that about my mom. And so I think like that's driven as in ministry. I think I try to look for the farthest person out as a result of that.
Yeah.
Like, I care about that person even more. Not that I don't care, but I'm going to aim my Sunday morning at the person who has never been here before. And Jeff, if you've been here every week for 4 years, you're along for the ride and you're going to get something out of it too. But like, I'm going to ask you to help me look for that person and be inclusive of them, you know? And I think in part that comes from my mom. So yeah, I think getting, you know, being an achiever is something that I am wired with. And I think trying to look for the farthest person out is something I'm wired with. And also, I would also say the way my mom shows up in my ministry, if you've met my mom or been in a relationship with my mom, you know my mom is not afraid to say what's on her mind. And I, for probably, and my mom would probably say she's experienced that for better and for worse in her life. And I would say I have too. And, right. But I also, I'm a truth teller in my ministry, and I try to do that with compassion. And I'm not mean about it, but if you've experienced me in ministry, you know, I'm a high challenge kind of person, and I'm not afraid to challenge a person.
Right.
And I think my mom is that way. So.
Awesome. Well, happy Mother's Day, Mom. What's her name?
Pat is her name. Yeah.
Happy Mother's Day, Pat.
And I think all of those things, are assets to me in my ministry. And I'm grateful for all of those things. And and I'm grateful that my mom is one of our hospitality leaders in our church.
So
she,
great.
Like, will run slides at our church. She is, she gives her, like, my parents care about giving to our church and participating in our church. And I don't know if they've ever, if they have, it's been rare. They've never really overstepped their boundaries as the parents of the pastor, right?
Right, yeah.
They play that role pretty appropriately, which I appreciate. Could be an easy thing to screw up, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever had an experience of your parents in your church. You've led in church for many years.
Is that yeah.
true for you?
Well, my mom is the person of faith in my family growing up. My mom, so I would say the fact that I'm a person of faith at all comes from my mom. My dad was an atheist who softened to become an agnostic before he died.
Yeah.
My mom used to say in her older age when she couldn't drive, she said, "Your father goes to church twice now, once to drop me off and
once to pick me up."
But he was a man of great common grace. He did all the things Christians do except believe in God.
Except believe in Jesus. I would be interested for you to tell me how both of those sides have you carried those things with you into ministry? You are obviously a person of faith who does believe in Christ and all that kind of stuff, but yet there also has to be something you've learned from your atheist turned agnostic father that shows up in your ministry.
Yeah. Well, seriously, there's a theological phrase called common grace. And the idea is all good things come from God. Mm-hmm. And so if you're a person who doesn't know God or has, you know, rejected God, but you're doing good things, you're just working on God's team without naming it, right? Mm-hmm. That love comes from God. And so people who don't acknowledge the source of their love are still carriers of God's love. Mm. That's the common grace theory. And so he was loaded with that. You know, most of the things that impacted my church ministry that came from my dad would be entrepreneurial. Mm. So caring about local before I care about national was from my dad. Deciding that that losses are temporary and they're good teachers. The idea that we never say, "Can I do this?" We always ask, "What do I have to do in order to be able to do this?" Those are all things from my dad. And his curiosity, he was a newspaper man, so I'm always curious too.
Which is why you're a good question asker, probably.
Some of it is that, you know. Yeah. I remember getting ready to go to an office party with my dad. I said, "Dad, everybody there is boring." I was in college and smarter than everyone.
Yeah.
And I said, "Everybody there is boring. I don't want to go." And he said, "Jeff, everybody in that room has at least 5 minutes of interesting in them. Mm. And if you can't find it, you're not as smart as I thought you were."
And you're like, "Well, now I have to go to that party."
Right? He said, "So go to the party and find the 5 minutes of interesting in everybody."
Yeah.
Ask better questions. Be more interested. And
if you haven't found it, it's because of you, not them.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So
I also think, like, if I observe my relationship with you and how you tend to relate with other people, obviously, you're not content with saying common grace is enough. You actually believe in a risen Savior and all of that, right? But and this is not what common grace means, but you exude a grace that's common for all people. Hmm. This is partly why I say I don't experience you as getting anxious or frustrated. I think you tend towards people with there's something good in this person. And how does that drive our interaction and our relationship?
Well, that's my mom.
That's your mom. Okay.
Oh my gosh. So my mom, so a lot of people will say that when they work with our group, that this organization is loaded with accountability and grace at the same time.
Yes.
Lots of accountability, lots of grace. That absolutely was the way my mom raised her kids. Mm-hmm. Lots of accountability, lots of grace. And the other thing my mom is the queen of is calling out the victory before there's a lot of evidence that it's going to be there.
Yeah.
So she's the kind of person who says, "Oh, I'm so glad you joined the swim team. You have long arms. That's going to make you a great swimmer."
Yeah.
Well, she has no idea how I'm going to be too. But, you know, she would catch us doing right. And she was such a good storyteller. Have I ever told you my Mother's Day story about my mom?
I don't think so.
I'm going to tell you this story. It'll be a good wrap-up to a Mother's Day conversation.
Awesome.
We were kids. There were five of us, one girl, four boys. And we're ranging in ages during this story from like 6 to six to maybe 15. And it's the day before Mother's Day. And David, my second oldest brother, says, I'm the middle child. David, the second oldest, says, this is the year that we buy mom's Mother's Day present with our own money.
Okay.
We all got nickels and quarters. Get together your nickels and quarters. We're going down to the store and we're buying something for mom.
Yeah.
When we went down to the Safeway grocery store, five kids walking up and down the aisles with no grown up and couldn't find anything. And I mean, we found things, but my mom was so beloved by us because she loved us first. Mm. So the only appropriate response would be to love her back.
Yes.
And she said, she'd always say to people, I have the most thoughtful, kind, wonderful children a mother could ever ask for. And we're thinking, mom, this is a lot, because that is not who we are. But nevertheless, we thought she deserved some love back, and we couldn't find anything at the Safeway grocery store. We walked out and there was a florist. We'd never been inside a florist, but there was a florist next door. We went into the florist shop. The florist lady looked at us, and you can imagine a florist having five kids walk in, ages six to whatever, and she says, I bet you're here to buy a special gift for a special woman. We're like, oh my gosh, she's genius. We said, yes, we're going to get something for my mom. And she said, oh, I have just the thing. Is she a special mom? Is she nice and kind and good? We said, oh yeah. She said, I have just the thing. And she showed us an orchid. We had never seen an orchid. We'd seen daisies. We'd seen sunflowers. We'd seen clover. Never seen an orchid. It was sophisticated and beautiful, just like my mom. We said, how much? She said, how much do you have? And we took our nickels and our quarters and we dropped them on her glass counter, you know? And she said, it costs exactly that. And I really, to this day, don't know whether she ripped us off or gave us a gift. But anyway, we took the orchid and we're going back home, and she looks at us and she says, do not stop at the park. Don't stop at the school. Don't go to the lake. This has to be kept cool. Go straight home. Keep it cool. So we went straight home. We put the orchid in the freezer because we were told to keep it cold.
Yes, yes. You didn't put it in the basement or the fridge. We put it in the freezer.
In the freezer. Right? So the next morning we go down. We're so proud of ourselves. We pull this purple orchid out of the freezer and it's brown. It's a mess. And we're all staring at it there at the breakfast table. And my mom comes down the stairs at that moment. She says, what's going on over here? Is somebody doing something special for someone? Right? Calling out the victory before there's really a lot of evidence.
We said, in fact, there's evidence to the contrary at this point.
Right. And she says, I want to see it. And we part. And she comes to the table and she goes, oh my, you probably shouldn't have done that. We're like, now she knows we're stupid.
Yeah.
And she said, you spent way too much money. Here's the moment where my mom had to make a decision about what story she was going to tell herself.
Yeah.
Tell us and tell other people. And she said, you spent too much money. And then we said, but mom, she said, I know. Most people get a purple orchid or a pink orchid. You got the rare South American brown orchid for your mother.
Wow.
As she said, David, pin it right here on my blouse. I'm wearing this to church.
Yes. Oh, wow.
And my mom wore a brown and wilted orchid to church. And she said, all the other women are going to be so jealous that their kids didn't give them a flower like this.
Wow.
And then on our way to the pancake house later, Dad came to pick us up in the station wagon. And on the way to the pancake house later, one of us was brave enough to say, hey, Mom, so I see you're still wearing the flower. She said, thank you so much. Every woman in church commented on my flower. And I told them, you're right. I have the most thoughtful, generous, beautiful children a mother could ever hope for. And we looked at each other and we said, you know, she's probably right.
She's probably right.
And that's my mother.
She sounds like a great lady.
She's a great lady. She's a great lady.
I see where you get it from now. whenever I've come to Jeff and I said, Jeff, here's this idea I have. And you're like, oh, wow. Never in a million years would I have thought of that idea. What a great idea, Scott.
Yeah. It helps that all your ideas are good ones. So there's also that.
I'm sure I've given you a frozen orchid or two in our days, but I appreciate it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Well, hey man, thanks for being on the podcast today. It's it was a gift to be able to hang out with you and chat for a little
while. Likewise, I'm sure. I hope you have a beautiful day set out for your wife, for Cindy and the kids. I hope they're contributing, and blessings on your head. And I just want to say one time to your mother, because I know she's listening, well done, good and faithful servant.
Well, thanks, Jeff.
Happy Mother's Day.
I'm sure she appreciates that.
Take care, buddy.